gifts. And this survey reckoned that about half of all adults will receive at least one unwanted gift at Christmas. So by my reckoning, that's probably, 100, 125 of you folks received an unwanted gift. So I'm not going to ask who got it. But about half of us receive an unwanted gift. The survey also reckoned that about 10% of people actually buy something for someone that they know they won't want just to annoy them. Now, those are the people I'd love to talk to. Maybe we've all done that. But if half of the people get this unwanted gift, the question is what they do with it. What do you do with that unwanted gift? Well, again, the survey comes up with all the answers. Apparently, 24% will politely keep the gift. They will say, "Thank you so much, it's just what I always wanted," and smile, and they will keep it. The problem with that is it perpetuates the idea that you have given them the right gift because they say they like it and they put it away. When my grandfather died, we cleared out his wardrobe and it was full, I don't know how many packets of gloves and scarves were in it, because every year some of us bought him a pair of gloves and he always said, "Oh, those are great. Those will be lovely and warm." But they were never out of the packets because he had so many of them. We politely keep it and sort of reinforce that thinking of this is just the perfect gift. 23% apparently re-gift them. You know how that goes. You get that box of chocolates and then you pass it on to someone else, which is pretty dangerous for two reasons. One is you need to be careful of the sell-by date, because you're passing this box of biscuits or chocolates around, and the other danger is, will it get given to the person who gave it to you? But re-gifting, 23% people re-gift their presents. 20% donate them. They're the big-hearted ones. They give them to something or someone. 12% are a bit more entrepreneurial. They sell them. They put them on eBay and hope that whoever gave them to you isn't watching eBay at the same time as well. 10% will bring them back and exchange them. 6% will put them in the bin. 4%, and this is pretty blunt, 4% will just give them back. I don't want that. So there must be 8 or 9 people in here who've done that. Yeah, how do you deal with an unwanted gift? It really is. It's one of those tricky things around Christmas. How do you deal with that gift? When the Magi come to visit Jesus, they bring their gifts. Now, our traditions, our legend have this idea of three kings. And really, when you sit down and look at the Bible passage, where do we get that from? There's no indication there were only three of them. There may have been two. There may have been 52. Who knows? There's no indication that they were kings either. They were actually probably pagan astrologers who had seen this star and knew the significance of it. And God worked even through these pagan astrologers to bring worship to Jesus. But possibly because they bring three gifts, we've just assumed, well, there must be a gift each. They couldn't be expected to carry more than one gift each. So three kings. Anyway, there they are. They bring this gold with this regal connotations around it, gold for a king. They bring this incense, this frankincense, which the Old Testament priests would have used in the temple as part of their worship. They bring this myrrh, which would reoccur again in John's Gospel. As Joseph of Arimathea tenderly takes the body of Jesus, covers it in a mixture of myrrh and aloes to prepare that body for burial. They're bizarre gifts. Bizarre gifts to bring to a young couple who've just had a baby. Gold. Frankincense, myrrh, for a king, for a priest, for a burial. And yet those are the gifts they bring because they recognize who Jesus is. They recognize what Jesus will do. They're strange gifts, and yet they are so appropriate because they point to who Jesus is. They point to what Jesus will do. So these are not unwanted gifts. These are gifts which speak of the mission of Jesus. It's interesting that these wise men come, bring their gifts, and they bow down and worship. Part of our worship is bringing gifts. But part of our worship too should be this recognizing who Jesus is, recalling what Jesus has done, what Jesus will do. And that's part of our worship. And sometimes we miss out on that because we're so familiar with what goes on around us. We sing the lovely carols, we read those Bible passages, and somehow it just flows over our heads. Those magi, as they brought these very appropriate gifts for Jesus, recognized who this was, realized what he would do, and the only response they had was to bow down and worship. Recognizing Jesus, realizing what he would do for them. This is the God who is with us and for us. And sometimes we lose sight of that. And when we lose sight of those things, then we really lose sight of the purpose of worship. Because it just becomes noise. It just becomes that clanging cymbal. And we've lost sight of who Jesus is, this babe in the manger. And we lose our sense of worship. May God help us, not just to see a baby in a manger, but to know who that baby is, to know what that baby will do for us and has done for us, and to worship him. When God gives us this gift of his son, the gift that Paul would call that an indescribable gift. Again, our words run out. We just haven't got the words to describe this gift to us. So the Bible simply says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus. The Jesus who would save his people from their sins. The Jesus who is the gift, maybe that we don't always want, but the gift that we so desperately need. Sometimes we say, oh, it's just what I wanted. God looks at you and says, Jesus is just what you need. And he gives his only son. Why does he do that? Why do you give presents? Why do you give gifts? There are lots of reasons why we do it. We give a gift because, well, he or she gave me one last year, so I better give her one this year. They'll only whinge if I don't give them one. They'll talk about me if I don't give them a gift. There are all these motives that go through our heads for giving gifts. What's God's motive in giving? The Bible simply says, God so loved this world. That's his motive. In giving you his indescribable gift. And what is the gift? God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son. That's his gift to you, to me. And the result of that gift, so that whoever believes in him should not perish. But have eternal life. May God enable us to see and to know and to understand and to hear this gift. And the question is then, what will you do with the gift that God has given to you? Just put it away politely. Pass it on to someone else. Hand it back. To ignore or to reject the gift which God has given to us in Jesus Christ is to decide to spend eternity without God, which is an awful prospect. But again, the beginning of John's Gospel, John reminds us that those who received him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. Those who would spend eternity in the family of God. You'll have to sort out what you do with all the gifts you got over Christmas. What categories you're going to put them into. But most of all, need to receive the gift that God has given to you in Jesus. A gift not just for a few short days or years, a gift for eternity. Let's pray together. Lord, we're surrounded by so much. And even though at times we talk about cutting back on things and cutting down on presents, Lord, we still have so much around us, so much that it blinds us, Lord, to our poverty, our spiritual poverty. And so help us by your Spirit, Lord, in these days, to know the unsearchable riches which are ours in Jesus, and to rejoice in him. Lord, work in us by your Spirit so that we would know that in Jesus you have given us the indescribable gift which each of us needs.